talked a little bit about Shar, and I'm sure me mentioning her name a second time is really not making it comfortable for you, so I'll just call her Bob's wife. Last week when I left, there was news that had come through that Evan was at the hospital. So when I left here, I headed there and got to walk into the new hospital. If you have been in Mercy's new hospital, it's nice. Walked into a room, Evan's on the bed playing in one hand his music and a game in the other hand. Chris is out of the room going to get something. B is on a fold-down couch, sound asleep. Because, you know, she sleeps maybe 1 hour at a time. Got caught up with what was going on. If you kept up with Facebook, our church Facebook page, you know that they're home. And they're doing... Oh! B is here. Good. It's just so funny because when I saw that last Sunday, she goes, you know, I was going to come to church this morning. So we know that Evan had a surgery for his seizures, and we know that he hadn't had a seizure till then. And like foolish Christians, you know, just blindly praying and believing, like we've prayed for none, no seizures. When they got to the hospital, the doctor said, we're stunned that he hasn't had seizures. The surgery usually cuts it down to about 50% of what they were before. This was also a different kind of seizure. I think that's what really threw Chris and Beatrice, because Evan fell back, eyes rolled back, and he was unresponsive, which, you know, I mean, for all of us, it's hard to imagine that kind of event happening. But they did get some more education on it this week. They did get more. And what I'm going to say to us as a church, we're still going to pray that Evan doesn't have any more seizures. Okay? That's what we're going to pray. We're going to ask God for that gift. And we're going to keep praying for Chris and Beatrice. And B, I'm glad you're here. It's good to have you with us. Yeah, you too. Then a second thing that's going to sound so unimportant, but I'm going to say it anyway. We have new chairs in the lobby. I waited till most of the kids were gone to say that because I knew you would applaud. But the kids whose parents come in to do music or sound or lights or whatever, they're not happy because the couch that they slept on when they got here has been removed. So they're having to put a couple chairs together. That's good stuff. All right. Oh, I didn't dismiss the kids. I said it in front of them, didn't I? Sorry, kids. Teachers, you want to head to the back, and assistants, and then all of our kids preschool through middle school. Somebody got Tom's class? I didn't even ask him. Dan Roser does? Okay, you kids are in for a blast. Let's have prayer, okay? Lord, thanks. Again, as I prayed earlier, help us to get from you and know it's from you. Thank you that faithful God followers have kept, and you've called on certain ones to expand on your word, this thing we call the Bible, so that we can see and understand, and we can see this growing understanding of who you are. And I thank you that that in the life of Jesus Christ, that we get to see the clearest picture. And so when we sing songs that talk about Jesus' name, it is so appropriate for us because it allows us to see you the clearest. And in these 3 days, we see so clearly your love, your willingness to sacrifice, your purpose, your plan. We get to see that. Thank you. Again, grow it richer in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, death is the first of the 3 days that we're going to look at. Let me say it again, and I want you to allow yourself to feel it when I say it, okay? Like, allow yourself to feel this. Death. When I said it, what did you feel? Did you feel the weight of it, the heaviness of it? Did you feel loss? Because although you're sitting here and you haven't experienced it, someone that you love, someone that you've known has. So when I say death, do you feel loss? Do you feel sadness? For some, when I say that word, it brings a different feeling. It's a feeling of shock. Like whatever connects you to that word brings not just a heaviness, not just a loss, not just a sadness, but a shock. I got a text message this last week from a long-term friend. And the first part of the text was checking on Deb. The second part of the text was informing me that their dad and mom's health was not doing well. And then it said this, pray for my dad's gentle passing. Mom won't be far behind. The text finished with this. I don't know what I'll do when they're gone. Let me add something to the word, that standalone word, and see if it changes at all for you. Death of Jesus Christ. Did you feel it? Did something shift inside you? Just when I added Jesus' name, a little light comes into the darkness of the word death. It doesn't completely eliminate the shock or the sadness, but it does add something to it. And the best way we can sum it up in our language, like in trying to describe it, is in this word hope. The Gospel of Mark records it this way in Mark chapter 15, verses 33 through 39. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Then at 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice. And he said these words, my God, why have you abandoned me? Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. Wait, he said, let's see whether Elijah comes to take him down. Then Jesus uttered another loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the Roman officer who stood facing him saw how he had died, he exclaimed, "This man truly was the Son of God." This was death. Death by crucifixion, which is one of the lowest levels of torture man has ever invented. It was death that brought loss. Mother was standing nearby losing her son. This was the death of an innocent. The Gospel of Matthew expands a little on it. Matthew 27 talks about it. It's not just being Christ who was dying, but two thieves, or as we've studied and understood it more, two revolutionary, two freedom fighters, two Jewish nationalists that were fighting for the freedom of their people from Rome. But Christ was the innocent. This was death that at least temporarily shattered the dreams, especially of his followers, his disciples. All painful, torture, loss, someone innocent, dreams shattered, all painful. But even in this, one of the shortest versions of Christ's death, even in this is something tucked into the very last words that bring a difference, some hope. Simply in these two things. A curtain is torn. And a hardened soldier who had seen and been involved in death. Again, Matthew expands on it. It says this: he fell down and worshipped because he sees and he says out loud, "This is the Son of God." Could this first day of three consecutive days be a day that changes everything? Could this word that was so heavy until we added Christ's name, could even this thought have something changing? My sister Nanette says, "I know Tim's going to cry at two very specific times, when he looks at the cross and when he looks at the flag. Because they're about life and love, sacrifice." So could it, like when we think of this idea of death and the 3 days of death, burial and resurrection, could it change? One of the reasons I cry when I look at the cross or the flag is because my answer is yes. Yes, they hold important things. Let me tell you why my answer is yes. This day, this first of 3 days, even though it was contained to a 24-hour period, was a long time in the making. And this is why I can say yes. Because this day was not a surprise. I love that. Ephesians chapter 1 gives this little phrase, before the foundations of the world, before everything that we know was created, this day was in the process. Galatians 4 says, but when the right time came, the perfect time in human history. Galatians 4 says, Romans chapter 5 says, at just the right time, he died. It's bringing in this picture of Christ's death. And it says these words, at just the right time, he died. Let me shift from the New Testament to the Old Testament, because the Old Testament is spiced with descriptions of this day. Psalm 41 predicts he would be betrayed. Zechariah 11:12, he would be traded for a price, and it was really specific about the price. Isaiah 53, he would be tried, and yet in that trial he would stay silent. Isaiah 53:5, he would be beaten, by his stripes we are healed. Deuteronomy 21, he would be hung on a tree and crucified. Psalm 22:8, specific insults would be hurled at him. And these are the insults that shook me. Those that stood at the foot of the cross said, he says he's going to save others, but he can't save himself. The day those words were expressed, They were just a fulfillment of hundreds of years before that God said, I'm going to point to this moment. Specific words would be uttered by Jesus. My God, why have you forsaken me? They would gamble, they would cast lots for his garments. So could the death of Christ change everything? My answer is yes. And one of the reasons it's such a yes is because this day was not a surprise. Here's another reason I say yes. Because this day of death changed the definition of death. It took it from solely being this weighty, heavy thing of sadness or shock, and it changed it. It injected this thing of hope. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 and 55. Scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? In ways, death used to be the strongest, with only pain. It used to be the end, no hope. But now it's not the strongest. This is why I say yes, because it's not the strongest. There is hope. And where death, that word, used to be an end, now it doesn't have to be the end. Listen to the surrounding words of the verse that I just read. 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to start in verse 54 and read a couple of verses after that to verse 58. Then when our bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, the scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death. And the law gives sin its power. But thank God, He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. I wanted to include this and I didn't know how to include it, so I'm just going to push right forward. What does that mean to you and me? So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Why did He tack that on? Because the definition of death got changed that day. This day of death was not a surprise. The definition of death was changed that day. And this is why I say yes. This is the hope that I live in. This day of death, it's almost impossible for me to say this except for Jesus Christ. This day of death became a day of life. Like, who there that day could have understood that? Terrible picture of any human being on a cross, but a son, an innocent. Wasn't a surprise, it changed the definition, but this day of death became a day of life. Can I read a couple of verses to you? Romans chapter 5, verse 6, when we were utterly helpless. Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God made Christ, who never sinned, he was the innocent, to be the offering for our sin, so that we may be made right with God through Christ. I love this next verse, 2 Corinthians 4:7. We now have this light shining in our hearts. But we ourselves, just us, we're like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. I don't know anything that explains it better than that. Clay jar, fragile, containing this treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. I don't know if it shifted for you when I went from the idea of death to the death of Jesus Christ. What I know, as terrible as that day was, it was not a surprise to God. Down to the smallest detail, it wasn't a surprise. And on that day, it changed the definition of death. That day of death became a day of life. So we get together on Sunday mornings and we have coffee and donuts. And I don't know, did you notice the screen in the lobby? The screen now talks to us. The screen has a name. The screen out in the lobby is called Sean the Screen. Said, are you tired? Maybe you need a cup of coffee before you go into the auditorium. There's a picture of a cat that is wet, and I don't know if you're shocked by the look of wet cats with the big eyes. Underneath it saying, I need coffee. And we start out there, and then we make our way in here, and the people who lead us from the stage, they lead us in songs, and they lead us in songs a lot of times that talk about Jesus, or even the name of Jesus, or the death of Jesus. The reason they pick those songs and the reason we sing them, and when we sing them we feel something shift, is because death alone is unbelievable. It's painful. It's loss. But death of Jesus changes everything. I had a picture up earlier, so I'm going to ask Sasha to put that up. All right. That young man's name is Jake. We took a couple pictures. One, we're both smiling. And then I said, give him your fighting look. And it was the same as his look before, the non-fighting look. You see mine? Like, I'm trying to make someone scared of me. I know for some of you this just is just crazy thought, but on Thursday Jake had to make a weight limit, so I was sitting in a sauna with him. And he actually was closer to the weight than he normally is, so we thought we weren't going to have to sit as long. And so let me just picture this. We're in a sauna, so if you've been in a sauna, you know, it's just a bunch of people sitting around with towels going, except Jake's losing weight, so he has a sauna suit on. Do you know what that is? It's a plastic sweatsuit with clothes on underneath it and then sweatsuit on top of it. He's got a winter hat pulled down, and he's not sitting. He's lying down. And for this fight, he came down from 297 to 265. Now, we didn't lose all that in that time, but we're in there. And he had said to me earlier in the week, I'm doing so good on my weight, I don't even think we'll have to go to the sauna, Tim. And I'm like, yes. Day before, he goes, we're going to have to go to the sauna, Tim. I'm sitting in the sauna, he's laying. I think I've told you this before. We start with 30 minutes. And the first 30 minutes, he'll be saying something like this. You know, I love that we get to do this together, Tim. And lying through my teeth, I say, yes, Jake, I love that we get to do this together, too. We go out, take a break. He gets on the scale, finds out his weight, and then we go back in a second time. Now we're in for 20 minutes, and he's changed his tune a little bit. This is not easy, Tim. This is painful. This is worse than the fight itself. We go out for 10 minutes. He checks his weight, comes back in. Now we're in for 15 minutes, and it's changed completely. Why do I do this? Listen to this. Why do I do this to us? So I don't get much communicated in the 20 or the 15 or the 10 or the 5 afterwards. But I do in the first 30 minutes. And it always takes on just the same pattern. Always. At some point in that first 15 minutes, he'll say something to me like this. Man, Tim, I don't know what I really think about God. I don't think I could do that whole religious thing. I know it's important to you, Tim, but I don't know that I really understand it. And then he'll start to ask some questions. Now, in a sauna, and it's that hot with a sauna suit on, I'm not sure if it's because he's interested or he's just trying to pass the time. But boy, does it open the door for me. Because of 3 days. The first one being not just death, but the death of Jesus. Then I can say to him, I hope you don't become religious either. But man, I hope you understand God's love to you. I hope you understand that even in the rough family life that you had growing up, that there was love there, and that even in this, how we matter, why we matter, whatever, is this love. And it's not just love that you win a fight. But it's this idea, death, where is your victory? It's this truth of hope, this truth of not living in a fear constantly. We're not having this ultimate fear. Not having all the answers. Man, not having all the answers. But believing this, God does. Wasn't a surprise. It changed the definition. What used to be the end is not. Death somehow becomes life. Let's stand. So I want to finish praying. For me, it would be my friend Jake. But as you saw that up there, you know, maybe you have matching t-shirts with a friend of yours. Maybe it doesn't say you all need Jesus, but it probably should. But for me, it's Jake. I'm wondering who it is. I'm wondering who it is. Like who's that face that pops into your head that you love, man? You want to give them the greatest gift you've ever gotten. Maybe it's a family member, neighbor, best friend from long time, new friend, co-worker that's struggling. I don't know who it is, but I'm wondering if that there's a face that popped into your mind. Your Jake. If somebody did, if they popped into your mind, would you put your hand up? Okay. All right, keep your hand up. You should know by now, right? Unless it's your first Sunday here, you should know. All right, got your hand up? All right, if you do not have your hand up, move by somebody who has their hand up. Put your hand on their shoulder. Daryl, come here for a second. Stand right here. Look out that way. Look out that way so I can read the back of your shirt. I like this. I'm on Jesus. I'm on Team Jesus. I'm not religious. I'm a Christian, imperfect, and unworthy, saved by grace, seeking after God. Next Sunday, this is church uniform. Okay? All right, good. Let's pray, okay? Let's pray for the Jakes in all of our life. That we love them, that we get to have a blast, that we sit in the sauna, get a text from them at midnight. Who say, I don't get it. I don't understand that whole thing. But we get to love them, right? And we have this hope because of Christ's death. Lord, and we say, Lord, because it is the most normal thing for anyone who gets to know you. Nobody's forcing us to call you that title. It's just the most fitting and it's the most natural. It's easy to embrace. Lord, you can look deeply into our hearts and know what's true and what's not in our lives. And you know that I love this young man. And you know these that raised their hand, and maybe even now people that didn't raise their hand, but they still have someone in their life that face just popped into their mind. Help us to know that for us as Christ followers, the first of these 3 days, the death of Jesus Christ really did change everything. It's changed us, and man, we want to take that treasure that's in fragile clay pots, that eternal that is sown into the lives of these human bodies. That are fragile, that will fail, that will struggle. But your choice was to take the greatest and not hide it away. But it's to give it to us, to put it in our humanity. Thank you for that. Help us take this treasure every place we go and share it with everyone we know. I know it's just some words that somebody thought to put on the front of a t-shirt. Y'all need Jesus. It's so true. Help us in the next few weeks as we look forward to the celebration of not just death, not just burial, but resurrection. As we sing songs about that, and as we read your words to us, man, make it deeper, richer. Help us to understand the treasure in better ways. Maybe most important, how to share that treasure with the people that we love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Give them a hug if you had your hand on their shoulder. Then I just want you to all dance around and celebrate, because it's not noon and we are dismissed, okay?